Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. Hour number two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Let's get into some cowboy stuff. Jerry Jones was on with Sean and RJ this morning, as he is every Tuesday at 8:30 here on The Fan. Then every Friday at 10:30 there with the KNC Masterpiece. Do you have a couple of news items to pass along from other NFL teams shortly? Darius Slay has mutually agreed to part ways with the Steelers. Veteran corner interested in continuing to play, will consider signing with other teams. Maybe the Eagles want him back. I don't know if he's any better than Adoree Jackson and Kelee Ringo, but I guess he's a somewhat solid, still maybe slightly below average starting caliber corner. So maybe he can help a super corner needy team. Colts, maybe?
Maybe the Colts, maybe the Lions? The Lions certainly could use some help right now, and it doesn't sound good for Kirby Joseph, who they were hoping to get back.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's going to be playing. He was still on the injury report that just posted now. And, I mean, Kirby Joseph, friend of the show, we got to interview him on the nosebleed seats when he was coming out into the draft. And Jordan Schultz put out one of these posts that people were thinking this could be like a career-altering injury that he's dealing with. But that doesn't seem to be the case. It's not considered to be, and he hopes to return to the field this year, but he's seeking more treatment for the knee in the offseason. So even if he comes back and plays, I don't think Kirby Joseph is going to be right the rest of the way. So that's going to be a huge injury. But Darius Slay certainly would be, and he started his career there in Detroit, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. He went to Philadelphia maybe 4 or 5 years ago and, you know, had been declining so much, just a little bit every year. But Philly decided to let him go because the playmaking completely evaporated last year. And then this year, the ability to cover has declined significantly as well. The Steelers defense got better when he got hurt.
Oh, gosh.
The player that came in for him had been like a career backup. Okay. Dan Campbell says Amon-Ra St. Brown is better, but doesn't see the wide receiver practicing today. Isn't ruling him out for Thursday just yet. Quote, if he can play, he'll play. DC doesn't see the team getting Khalif Raymond back for the Cowboys game either, a wide receiver and return specialist there, Khalif Raymond. So we'll have an eye for this injury report. Should be out within the hour, so we'll pass that along when we get it. All right, Jerry Jones said a lot this morning. It was another good interview. He said the idea that Dallas can't keep all three defensive tackles, Williams, Odighizuwa, and Clark, because of their salaries, quote, that's not right. We can build from that. How much of what they do you think could be held up if they do let Kenny Clark go? Like, how important is this? And is it worth another defensive tackle at $20 million? And how do you interpret that? Is Jerry Jones telling everybody we plan to keep Clark and Pickens? Like, could we be that lucky next year?
Yeah, I mean, I think that seems like their plan. Every time they speak, even Steven talks about how Kenny Clark is for now and for moving forward. So I know we were quick to be like, Kenny Clark will be an obvious, easy cap casualty at the end of this season. But they're talking as though that you know, they loved him so much. They obviously brought him in after the Micah trade, and they probably just want to prove themselves right with that and not trade for Kenny Clark and then one season and then he's gone.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Would you restructure it? Would that be what I would do in terms of like keeping him at that dollar figure? I don't know that that would be something I would want to do.
Oh, restructure, get his number down, push the money into the future, and say we're going for it in 2026. Right. That'd be awesome.
They absolutely could do, because I don't believe he's necessarily a $20 million player anymore. But it is somebody that I want to keep around. I think there's something to be said about now that is a position that has been a glaring weakness for how long? A decade plus, maybe longer. And now it's a strength of your football team. And that is not necessarily a spot they've drafted very well. And they've tried. And they have not evaluated the position great. Oso Digizua, probably the only one. You know, Malik Collins was a solid pick of several years back. But I would be totally into keeping all three together. Maybe they can just lower the price tag a little bit.
I kind of feel like, though, this weekend will tell you why you need to keep Kenny Clark.
He's going to demolish them.
That team really well.
This is going to be one of those times where Detroit is going to, and we'll get into it at 3:40 because I'll break down Detroit's offense. But I kind of feel like that going into this game with the problems that they're having at wide receiver with the health of their guys and the health of their offense, they're going to try and run the ball on you. And the one thing that Detroit can do is really run the football with those two backs. And you're going to see why you have a guy like Kenny Clark on your team. Or it could be like, wow, Kenny Clark really didn't affect the running game all that much. Maybe that'll make a reason why you move on from Kenny Clark. But I think this weekend will be a big tell for why to keep all those guys.
I mean, I do like the five man. I just wonder if a better use of your resources would be to have Solomon Thomas back. And that's more of a part-time player that, you know, just it comes down to what Chief said, though. If you're willing to push that money into the future and try to push more good players onto 1 year's roster than the salary cap is supposed to allow, because you're just like, we've had enough. You know, obviously, I mean, if they would go on a magical run this year and get to the Super Bowl or win the Super Bowl, which I do think is possible if they get into the playoffs more so than any team I've covered, I think this team could be the one to do it. But there's around a 15-24% chance that they even get into the playoffs, depending on who you're looking at. But
and Solomon Thomas will be here. He sent a 2-year deal. So okay, you're good on Solomon Thomas.
How'd you feel about their run defense against the Chiefs? I mean, It was fairly efficient, wasn't it? Pacheco was over 5. Xavier Worthy had a couple of decent runs. Kareem Hunt was churning over 4. Patrick Mahomes got you 3 times for 30 yards. But they ended up with a healthier total than what we were used to against the Raiders and Eagles.
Yeah, I mean, the Chiefs had a 52% rushing success rate in that game. So the Chiefs ran the ball well.
Yeah.
What's your goal? What's like league average in that?
Yeah, you would want it to be more like 40%.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, I think this, like what Brian said, this game against the Lions is going to give you a great indication of exactly.
An indication of how well you're really, how good your run defense can or cannot be.
Jerry Jones was asked this morning, what's your easier path to get into the playoffs? Is it the division or the wild card? And he started off by saying, when you're in this kind of situation where it's too hard to call it, you just put your head down and we're going to go win these games. And I loved how confidently he said that. But he finally did circle around and say the opportunity is to win the division. And I hope that's not right, you know, because it's going to be hard to win 8 games in a row. And I do feel like if you look at the other wild card contenders, like, this is pretty doable. They all have pretty difficult schedules, and you just need one of these teams to start stumbling. The Seahawks get the Colts, Chargers. They're at Carolina, at San Francisco. They get Atlanta next week, and then they run the final 4 with that gauntlet. And Seattle is a West Coast team going east to Carolina. I could easily see them losing to the Panthers, to the Colts, to the Chargers, and at the 49ers. The Packers play the Bears twice.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, they could be sitting in a tie with you at 8-5-1 here in just a couple of 2-3 weeks time. And then they also have to play the Broncos and Ravens. That's 4 very losable games for the Packers. 49ers are on their bye. They're the last team to get the bye. They are on 4 losses, but they have the Colts, Bears, Seahawks, and then they get Tennessee. So they have 3 very losable games as well. The 49ers could end up with 7 losses, and I feel like they've been getting it done with smoke and mirrors all season long. I've been been waiting for their collapse at any time. I think they're a half win away from hitting their over-under, which I'm going to lose some money on.
Yeah, but what's the one team that looks like it's just completely falling apart right now?
The Eagles.
The Eagles.
Yeah.
That's the one. I mean,
That's the edge lane easy.
Hey, let me tell you what. Find a way to win these games and give me a home playoff game, potentially being the third seed. You know, if you win all these games, that's your best. To me, that's your best opportunity.
Because of Philadelphia's on the ropes.
Yeah, I think Philadelphia is the one team that we could see, right? We're asking Seattle and others and Green Bay and others to fall apart. Hell, we're seeing Philadelphia fall apart before our eyes.
Yeah, it's just it's not a good offense. I think some of these teams like are just able to do it because they've done it in the past and they have a belief and they know how to win games late. But the wheels could come off that thing in a big way. I guess I just like the chances of one of three teams turning for the worse than depending on one.
Yeah, but you're right now you're seeing Philadelphia be the worst team. They're the ones that are really struggling to win games.
He also talked about how bad the Lions beat the Cowboys last year. It was the worst home loss in the Jones era, 47-9, saying he can't get it out of his mind.
It was on his birthday.
Oh, and his birthday as well.
They're running trick plays, and
they were trying to throw to the linemen a bunch in that game to try and get back for the year before of what happened with that Dan Skipper play.
I guess it was after that game that he got sideways with somebody in the media scrum.
Yes,
and then the next morning with Sean and RJ.
Yes,
or two mornings after that. So that one definitely ate at him in a significant way. And he said one of the things he still loves about football is it's our town against your town, and this game is taking on that feeling. I feel like the emotional pendulum has swung back in the Cowboys' favor here.
I think so, too. And I mean, this is just a really banged-up Lions team right now. I mean, now you've got Penei Sewell showing up on the injury report as well.
Did we get a status for today on him yet?
He did not practice today. And Amon-Ra St. Brown was talking, and he said, I mean, he's not ruling himself out. He said that it's still up in the air if he's going to play. That's really the key one, because, I mean, they're a totally different offense if you don't have Amon-Ra St. Brown. But if you don't have your starting left tackle either, now it's looking like the Cowboys don't have any excuses.
No.
You've got to go in there and get this win.
No, if they can't run it, then I don't know how they're going to have any offense. You know, I expect Jared Goff to, you know, have one of those days where he's struggling, seeing ghosts, and maybe throwing the ball to the wrong team. Okay, Trayvon Diggs not a guarantee to play. That was another takeaway. Important practice today, limited yesterday. It's weird to me that he was going to play with the knees 6 weeks ago. Then he got a concussion, and the knees became such a problem that he had to not play. I mean, I guess you could regress to a point by taking the time off, but he came back early. You know, he came back early. This just doesn't add up to me. I feel like Trayvon Diggs is going to play, and I mean, I feel like we're playing with fire with Carson and Revel. You know, there's just only so long you can go with unproven corners out there. So what I'm saying is I would just put Diggs in the starting lineup.
Yeah, there's a good possibility that you will see Revel, Bland, and Diggs be your guys. That's kind of where I think they would like to go with this thing if they can. They're going to have to make a roster move to get him on.
With Bland in the slot?
Bland in the slot, yep. Mm. Yep.
Thought Reddy Stewart's done a pretty dang good job.
Yes, he's been very steady. And him, Carson, those guys, but you know, we'll see. They're going to have to move on. The question that folks have over there right now is the buy-in from Diggs. You know, where's the buy-in?
Yeah.
You know, if there's, you're about to put somebody on the street that's bought into this turnaround, and everybody's kind of worried, like, well, where's the buy-in with Diggs? Are you putting a guy out there that's just trying to get back out there, or are you putting a guy that sat out for the last four or five games and has really, like, saying, man, I want to be a part of this. I want to, you know, the things are turning around. You know, that's the important thing. But they're probably going to have to put somebody, if they make a move on defense, they're going to put a guy out on the street that was probably helped you turn this thing around. And that's the unfortunate thing, because they don't know what Diggs is going
to
think.
I'd send him a link to that Odell Beckham Jr. interview. You guys see that?
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Yeah. Like, man, you might think you got all and more that you'll ever need, but as this guy will explain to you right here, it can go quickly. So, like, Diggs, if you hate us and you think the Cowboys are stupid for moving on from your buddy Micah Parsons, or Shoddy's an idiot for how he handled your discipline earlier in the year, that's fine. But you're heading for a very incentive-laden, prove-it-type deal. You know, ask Asante Samuel how that went for him when he became available in free agency. an injured player who hasn't proven much.
There's a lot of pressure on Diggs because if they do activate him and he comes back and he doesn't show the buy-in, now he's played his cards.
Yeah.
He's played his cards that, like, okay, we're going to go take his money. We're going to move on from him and not worry about it anymore.
Jerry Jones clarified that he tried to trade Micah Parsons to the Jets before the season for Quinnen Williams and a first-rounder. Not the other way. It wasn't a first-rounder plus Micah, which I liked that idea more because I just thought that was such shots fired at Micah. You know, like I thought that's why he was doing that. But he clarified the day that he misspoke. It was a one in Quinnen for Micah is what they were trying to do before they ended up moving him to the Packers.
It would be so Jets to turn that deal down. Yeah. No, we're cool, man. We don't need Micah Parsons and a first round pick.
Okay. And then the other thing I wanted to get to here real quick was the Abdul Carter story. I know there was a butt cracking or a ball sacking that went along with this. Maybe we can talk about that a little bit later on. But I think the biggest takeaway here is the Cowboys ended up with the best edge in the draft in Ezeraku. Like, Abdul Carter might be more talented, but he only has 1.5 sacks. He's been suspended twice. His run defense well below league average, and Ezeraku's playing run defense like he's a veteran, and he's doing a hell of a job.
Yeah.
Think you got the best edge? Would you trade Ezeraku for Abdul Carter right now?
I'd take Abdul Carter. I would take
Abdul. He's a more talented player, but we did hear that he was a headache at Penn State. There is something to be said about, locker
Penn State
room guys. And some of that stuff. But, yeah, Abdul Carter is an absolute freak. And I'm sure that, talent-wise, hopefully he gets his career together. Maybe it just won't be New York. Maybe they look to part ways.
This is the problem that we have when Zach and I and others are trying to do this draft stuff. You don't know all the off-the-field stuff. You don't know what goes on within the locker rooms. You're just evaluating the player. Abdul Carter is a better football player than Donovan Ezeraku talent-wise. Better person? Probably not, but we don't know that. I did think that Donovan Ezeraku was one of the three best pass rushers in the draft, but I had Carter in that list too, and Green from Marshall was my other one. So, yeah, if you gave me a choice of the two, I just on talent alone, you're taking Carter.
Yeah, I think you add the run defense and you add the character and the risk of a more talented guy not hitting his potential because he just screwed up 3 weeks ago and got suspended, and now he does it again. To me, that's impulse control. That's football desire. That's respect for authority. A guy like that's just not going to hit his potential unless he's Lawrence freaking Taylor.
Well, and the thing about it, too, is you don't know that if the Giants are being such a train wreck that they're allowing that kind of stuff. And if he were to be here...
That's a good point. Yeah.
Maybe it would be a different story. I think
the George Pickens thing.
Yeah, if you're a 2-12 team, you have issues. You have a lot of issues. You have an interim coach there. You have a general manager that's trying to hunt for a new coach. Yeah, is the kid perfect? No. But maybe if he was in a different situation, it might be different for
him. Maybe Kafka in the interim is trying to be heavy-handed. Or like maybe, there's a new sheriff in town.
Or maybe he's getting on the phone every night and calling you trying to find another job with Andy Reid or something like that.
I'm sure he'd love to go back, and Andy would love to have him.
Yeah.
Okay, we'd love to talk more Cowboys with you. Krusty's Corner's coming up at 3:40. He is going to break down the Lions' offense for you today. Defense tomorrow at 3:40. We'll come back with a C-note here, Cowboys News of the Evening.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Dianaroga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nation.
All right, welcome back. It's time for the C-Note, Cowboys News of the Evening. 682 says, my Lions are going to lose this one. Our secondary is the Legion of Whom. That's pretty good, 682. Salute to you. And, you know, congrats on the Lions' success over the last three seasons. But might be coming to a bit of an end. I saw they have, like, five big contracts coming up in free agency. So they really had amazing drafts. They zigged when everybody else was zagging, and they nailed all those picks and built a new identity and had a great offensive line. But as it's getting older and paid, and you can't afford to plug your gaps anymore, you got to pay your own guys. You're going to need, you know, like every team in the NFL, a couple of great drafts can change everything very quickly. So best of luck to you on that. But man, if the Cowboys could beat these Lions, this is going to be, I think, the most excitement we've had around here in about 4 or 5 years. I mean, the first Mike McCarthy run was the last time I really believed. 2021 was the last time. And then the way that ended, I said, you know what? I'm not doing it anymore. Until they get serious about building a roster that doesn't have serious gaping holes that are easy to game plan against, I'm just not going to believe in these guys ever again. But Jerry and Steve and Will and Shoddy have got Cowboy Gavin up on that trusty steed once again. Never thought I'd see the day.
It looks good on you, man.
Thank you.
I love this optimism.
Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Okay, let me start here. Hard Knocks in season with the NFC East is debuting tonight on HBO Max. This is Advantage Cowboys. When things are going bad, the last thing you want are more cameras and more people you don't recognize disrupting your routine, appearing in team meetings, appearing in the hallways. You get defensive. You get in survival mode when you're losing like Philadelphia is. And now prying faces. I think it can easily be a button pusher for the Eagles out there. So I'm calling Advantage Cowboys on this one, boys.
Love it. I think the Cowboys are pretty much used to all distractions at this point. So having some extra camera crew around, I don't think it's really going to be that big of a deal for them, hopefully. So, yeah, as you're watching everything that goes down in Philly, this can only just add to that. And then Washington's having a down year. The Giants are having a terrible year. The Cowboys should be the star of this Hard Knocks show. I'm pretty pumped for it tonight.
I don't think I would be, but I'm going to be locked in.
They
will be. The Cowboys are always the star in this thing. You know, I mean, the Giants changed the game for everybody, though, with that whole thing. When all their laundry got out, no team will ever allow that to happen again. You know, I mean, the Cowboys are getting really smart about this. I believe there was the one year they were in Hard Knocks and they kept their scouts at home so they wouldn't have to meet as a group to, you know, with the Joneses and stuff. They wouldn't have to put that on, get that on air. So, yeah, Cowboys getting a little smarter with how they're operating.
Yeah, I think it's perfectly timed, though, as they're beginning to figure it out, like behind the scenes enthusiasm, vibes, Shoddy doing his thing. That should be great. And I do wonder if how protective Philadelphia is going to be of their dirty laundry. It doesn't appear that A.J. Brown is that, you know, concerned about protecting anybody's feelings. So maybe we'll get a bubble bursting moment from Philadelphia here that could you know, be a distraction for them.
I'd like to think the Hard Knocks cameras were there when Eagles fans were
egging
the house of their OC.
Yeah, that would be some good content if a ring cam picked it up.
Yeah,
like the eggs flying,
like Bill Belichick with his shirt off walking out of his girlfriend's trailer or whatever.
Yeah,
trailer,
whatever it was.
Beach house, wasn't it?
A little beach house. I don't know.
Yeah. We got into an egging war in high school. It went back and forth multiple rounds.
Those are fun.
But I think we started it, and then one night we were hanging out at my buddy's house upstairs with one of the windows open with no screen, right? This is the Northwest, so like bugs and like very mild temperatures. Eggs come flying through the open window into his room. It was
it was quite unsettling.
We got revenge, though, in the form of egging a 66 Mustang. My buddy Brent was really ticked off about that, but I said, man, you guys, you know, you threw actual eggs into Jim's window, into his bedroom. You know, what'd you expect from that point?
You know, Jim's not going to stand for that.
So they come up with a master plan to egg my parents' house. But Jim caught wind of it, said, hey, Brent and the guys are coming by to egg your parents' house tonight. They're coming through the park.
So you got to stake out on them?
Here we go. So there's like a waist-high fence off my parents' old house in the backyard. So we're crouched down there, and we hear them coming across the park. And right before they throw the first one, we pop up and let them have it, chase them back to the Mustang there and lit it up once again. It was a glorious evening.
Ah, man, that's all time. That is so freaking fun.
Yeah. Yeah. So like the egging story is a piece of nostalgia for me.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe I'm a little bit more pro egging than the next guy. But I mean, if you get caught for that, I think you'd be a hero in Philadelphia, wouldn't you? Like no judge would convict you of that. Like, of course you egged Kevin Petullo's house.
That's true. Unless you get one of those random Cowboy fan judges up there all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they would like kind of like it, too. I don't know.
Yeah.
But how is Dad Dawson handling waking up to maybe some daughter's friends coming and egging your home?
Oh, how are you?
Yeah,
you're getting egged by daughters.
Father Dawson wakes up in the middle of the night and his house is getting peppered.
Man, I got to tread lightly here.
Gym-like revenge?
Oh, no big deal.
I think the high school is getting out right about now, and we do have some pranksters. Like every weekend, there's a house getting teepeed. In Sunnyvale, as I'm, you know, heading to the soccer game or whatever. How would I handle it?
Revenge tour.
Yes.
Dad's getting out there and he's going to warm up the
old arm. Can we figure out who it was? You know, but I would probably want to egg the kids' vehicle, you know, maybe while they were at school.
Yeah.
You know, so they'd come out after school.
That's
hot
good.
Summer day, the eggs baking on the hood of his car, something like that, or her car. I don't know. But I would probably laugh it off. I'd probably get the hose out, you know, hose it down and. We'd be fine.
Like we said yesterday, big week for the hose.
Big time.
It's a huge week.
One time from L.A. hose.
Yes. Very, very prevalent out there. Okay, George Pickens, after having 70 yards on slants alone in week 13 against the Chiefs, that's another NFL high for him, by the way.
He leads 2025. The league. Yeah.
So he was asked about how teams are going to start trying to take away the slant from him. Sorry, salute to John Machota for tweeting this. I just misread it. He said it's kind of inevitable. It's going to happen regardless because I can beat it against two-man, man, 3-4. It's just a window thing. There's nothing they can do to win. I got the go ball, the stomp route, the slant, and now they're kind of focusing on the slant, and I still got the go ball. There's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, that's the exciting thing is now you got these corners that are a little
bit. They're going to bite
on that slant.
Now you get a double move.
You're going to get a big dog Pickens down the sideline, toe tapper, Dax money ball.
And his confidence on just go ahead. I'm going to find a way to beat it. It's an unstoppable play. You're not going to be able to cover me.
How often is the route that a receiver is going to run, and how often is it that you are on the same page with the quarterback branching off multiple things? Like I know with four verts, it's very common. There's three or four different things we're going to do here, and everybody knows it. But down in, down out.
It's a good question, but I kind of feel like, though, that it's not always – because it's so funny in the game that I was listening to Brad, and Brad, it came down, and Brad's like, just throw the slant to Pickens. You know, like he calls it, and sure enough, what they do. I think it's one of those things where you're going to, they call it. I don't think it's always a quarterback and receiver type of thing. Now, I think there's things that you see that you kind of nod, and you're like, okay, do this. And
this is press man. We're going long.
Yeah, we're going. Yeah, we're going to go. You're just. But man, all he has to do is he gets somebody playing a little off coverage on him.
Yeah.
He fakes that inside move with his, you know, he's got his, say he's going left to right. He just fakes that. He just does that sudden little move, and now you've got that corner that bites, and now it turns vertical. And that's where you kind of take a chance on off coverage. That's where a quarterback and receiver. But when it's kind of a man situation. It might be a little bit different. Like, go ahead and run the route But if it's an off coverage, that's where you might play a little game.
What are we hearing about Jadeveon Clowney, his availability? Jerry was not 100%.
It's going to be a game time decision. I know he had the neck problem against the Raiders. He got through that. He was okay against Kansas City. Now with the hamstring, they're going to work him out on Thursday and see if he can play. As we talk about Detroit's offense, this is going to be a big moment if he plays or not for this team, because I think you're going to need him, and I'll explain it at 3:40 why.
Do you think Trayvon was throwing any shade towards Shoddy? He says, I feel like, I don't know, everybody's different. Some coaches enforce more things than other. I guess it's a growing relationship. We were just talking about this 10 minutes ago. Is that a sign of a guy who's in or still kind of looking at the whole Cowboys coaching staff and organization as a little sideways?
I think that, as I've said, I think that it is a sideways type of deal. I think for Diggs, this needs to be about him, and he needs to go out, play selfish. That's fine because it's going to benefit the Cowboys. So you just put work on going out there for you, put good tape out there. Let's build up your value, and then let's go ahead and make something happen, and you can go mutually part ways this offseason. I think that's the best course for both teams. I'd like to hear how he said that, because I think that might – kind of determine if it was a shot at Shoddy or not. But reading the quote, I didn't take it as a good thing.
No. You would imagine that he would be a little bit more like running with the squad here.
Yeah.
Like, no, this
Olive
is...
Olive Branch style.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Let me start working on the vibes from my end.
Exactly. And I don't know what that says about previous coaching staffs, like how loose was McCarthy on a lot of this stuff? What has he become accustomed to? But, like, he comes from a Nick Saban Alabama program. You would think that, like, discipline and order and listening to the coach would be just ingrained in you.
Well, that was Al Harris' problem.
Pickens or Diggs?
Diggs.
Oh, Diggs. I'm sorry. Diggs.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I was advocating for Al Harris as a defensive coordinator option if you wanted to promote from within. But evidently, him coddling Diggs and letting him kind of get away with a lot of this stuff.
Evidently, it was real.
That's what happened. Yeah. And that's why. And you're seeing, hey, look at Nashon Wright and look at those Bears, that Bears secondary. Al Harris is an outstanding coach. So whatever his method is, I'm not saying it doesn't work, but people at the Star didn't really love the way that he handled Diggs and let him get away with things, and he doesn't have his sponsor, as Brian would say now, anymore.
Yeah.
Very interesting. All righty. Thank you for that context. We do have the Crustaceans Corner coming up next. Brian, where are you taking it?
Yeah, we're going to walk you through this Detroit offense. There's a lot you need to know.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, we'll do that next.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. G-Bag Nation here on 105.3. The Fan of Football Fix is coming up at 4. In 1 hour, Mark Schlereth, our Odyssey NFL insider, is going to join you, tell you all about what he expects in Week 14, how impressed he is with the Cowboys. I mean, he had said several times that they were down and out, maybe even suggested they weren't worth a squirt of urine. But I'd say the last three games might have changed Mark's opinion. We'll get the latest on that coming up in an hour. Time now for Krusty's Corner. Here's Brian.
Hey, kids! Your old pal Krusty's going to teach you five new words.
You're not wrong about that.
From Dallas, Texas, number 55, Brian Waters.
Thank you very much, Lucius. Appreciate you playing that. And thank you to our friends there at our roofers.
Greystone Roofing.
Greystone.
Yeah. Greystone-roofing.com.
Appreciate you guys for being on board for all the things you do for us. Is there anything about, before I get started, is there anything about this Detroit Lion offense that really does scare you?
It's Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery.
Yeah.
I think Jameson Williams is a guy who can get you for a couple of big plays. Yeah.
No doubt.
Or he'll put up a bagel.
Kind of a little bit of hit and miss with him. Watching him play.
And it's huge games or it's a nothing burger.
Yeah. Feast or famine.
Feast or famine.
Yeah.
I'll say this about the Detroit Lions. The thing that scares me the most, and even though they're so banged up along the offensive line, they're still going to try and run the ball. And I really wonder with all the additions that Dallas has made, I think this will be the biggest test for them playing run defense. And if the Lions were completely healthy in the offensive line, it would be a challenge. I think even with banged up guys, it's going to be a challenge, just because of these two backs. I think these two backs, when we've seen some of the guys that they played throughout the season, I think this Jahmyr Gibbs and this David Montgomery are incredible. Yeah. I really do. And the thing that Dallas, you know, Dallas will get challenged. Dallas is better inside. There's no question. They've gotten better at defensive tackle. But I just worry about the vision and the ability to cut and the ability just to have just a little space when it comes to these backs. And sometimes you don't have to be perfect when you have great backs. And there's plenty of times where I went back and watched. You know me, I always like to go back and watch all the 10-plus runs. I like 30-something of them, 35, 38, 10-plus runs. One of them was from their quarterback.
I'm surprised it was that many.
That's wild.
That was it. One of them was from the quarterback, and everything else was either Gibbs or Montgomery. They're a right-handed running team if you watch them.
Yeah, the numbers reflect that in a big way.
Yeah, they are very much a right-handed team, and that's usually going behind Penei Sewell. They got Tate Ratledge over there. He's the rookie out of Georgia. I'll say something about this offensive line. They were at one time one of the best, I think. Now, this is not a good group. And it's not a good group because I don't think Taylor Decker, the left tackle, is particularly good.
No, he's showing the age.
He is.
Him and Sewell both not practicing today.
Yeah, he is starting to. Taylor Decker was never a strong guy, but I'm so wrong when I do the college draft stuff and I say the guy didn't play with power. I hate tackles that don't play with power. And then we've had these guys that shown up and the Colton Millers of the world. Sure. And those kinds of guys,
Tyler Guyton's,
yeah. They don't play with power, but they end up
get
playing.
The job done.
They get the job done. But Taylor Decker, you can clearly watch him play, and it's a struggle for him. He's a good foot athlete, but if you take him back, if you get under him, you can walk him right back into the quarterback. Now, the whole thing, like I said, I keep saying, I think that the plan for the Lions offensively is going to be to run the football. Without the wide receivers, without LaPorta, yeah. And Brock Wright is also likely not going to play in this game.
And just the general pressure that defenses are getting on Goff right now.
That is the thing, that if you could get him to hold the ball, that's where your sacks are going to come. Because he is not going to run away from anybody.
No.
His whole game is trying to get the ball out fast. They're very much an offense that is predicated on the run after catch.
Mm-hmm.
So you watch them play, and the routes and stuff are all that way. But they've lost some of those guys. Now, Williams can play vertically and can run after catch. But overall, though, not having St. Brown in there, that's a problem for them. But I could see them just, you know what, we're going to commit to running the football and seeing if Dallas is good enough. Because if it turns into, if Dallas makes them very one-dimensional where it just turns into to passing, I think they can get after Goff with this offensive line.
Oh, yeah.
And I think they could get, I think with these receivers, it could be very reminiscent of like the Commanders game where they're holding these guys up and they're and all of a
sudden.
They just
can't get open.
They can't get open, and now Goff is having to eat the ball.
If you get the pressure you did against Mahomes,
yeah,
you're going to be in good shape.
I think so, too. I think so, too. But it is an offensive group that like it's had its challenges. It's still, I think, the explosiveness, though, is all from the backs. And I just keep saying this, but I just worry about them handing the ball and then Dallas missing in space. Or Dallas, how about, you know, when they throw the ball to the flat?
Right.
The screens.
Oh, yeah. That'll get you.
Which was the scare with Barkley, and yeah, he popped off at least one big one.
Yeah. So, to me, this is where this game really could hinge. I think it's going to hinge for both sides of the ball when it comes to, you know, their offensive line versus your defensive line and then vice versa. I think when this game, it sounds so cliché to say and all that, but really who wins up front? And I think Dallas is better. I think Dallas is better when it comes to their defensive line versus the Lions' offensive line at this current state.
Yeah, how dependent is their run game on Penei Sewell? You say they're right-handed.
Yeah.
He's over there along with Tate Ratledge,
yeah,
who's a really good run-blocking guard.
Yeah,
he struggles against the pass.
See, that's the thing with Ratledge, and you mentioned that. Penei Sewell's had his struggles with the pass, too. Hmm. He's given up some pressures. Well, you can watch in week one, you can watch him and Micah Parsons go at it. And Micah Parsons took him to task in that game. I went back, I watched all the sacks and what happened. They really, really struggled with teams that have the Vikings got after him this way. The Giants got after him. When it came to the movement with their offensive or with their defensive lines, with the gap exchange stuff, with the making these guys have to switch, it was a problem for Tate Ratledge to have to deal with. The center, you know, with Tristan Colon, is he's a guy that's, you know, he's just a guard that's having to play center. They just don't have it. They just don't have the ability that they had before. That, I mean, I think they got really desperate trying to go and bring back Frank Ragnow because they knew that they were kind of in a bad spot. But Dallas has an advantage with their defensive line. I don't know if they have an advantage, though, when it comes to defending these backs. That's my biggest worry going into this game for sure.
How dependent were they on film getting run blocking from their receivers and tight ends like Laporta and St. Brown?
That's how St. Brown got hurt. Mm. He was blocking downfield and got rolled up on. Mm. So yeah, These backs are, I keep saying this, but you watch them like there's this just a small little sliver of a hole, a gap, and they're pressing it, and then they get through it so quickly. They get through before you have the time to react. And I know that myself, Vach Lombardi, and I did stuff on our channel. We broke down the Kansas City, how Kansas City tried to run the ball, and Dallas was able to play with really, really good run fits. Due to like their defensive line play. I worried in this game because if all of a sudden, though, if Clowney doesn't play and it turns into, okay, who is going to play left end against a team that's right-handed like this? You know, are you going to rely on Sam Williams to do this? Are you going to put Ezeraku over there to play? Because you're going to need to set the edge against these guys.
Otis is up for it, isn't he?
Yeah. Well,
you know, if Clowney can't go, I wonder if this is an opportunity to you can now activate Perrion Winfrey. And Winfrey played some of that five-man line at OU.
Yeah.
You've seen him do it.
Yeah.
And that might be a guy that could help to alleviate some of that.
What about Solomon Thomas?
Yeah, I think to me, with Solly, I would probably think about him more inside than I would on the edge. But, I mean, I think you need somebody with some length and going against, like, the Penei Sewell.
Yeah, that's why I like Winfrey.
See, but thing also, though.
It'd be great to see him.
But see, yeah, the Winfrey thing is you would have to activate him because they're going to work out Clowney the day of the game.
Right.
So you're going to have to, you know, your activations, you're going to have to be ready to go with that.
He's going to have to travel and be ready.
Yeah, he's going to have to be ready to go. So I think it's really, really important in this game that they get that edge play. And they have been getting it from Clowney, and they have been getting it from Ezeraku. I just don't if Dallas becomes compromised at that edge spot, the Lions could have some success here with the way that they run it. That's my biggest worry about this Lions team is Gibbs and Montgomery and Dallas not having a great answer of getting off blocks and making plays before these guys get going downhill.
But as challenged as they should be in the passing game, what's it going to take for Detroit to win this game? Is it 30 carries at 6 yards a pop?
Dan Campbell can make this a really ugly game. Now, what you can do is if you're Dallas's offense is you find a way to make Detroit have to score along with you.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden it turns into you take the running game away from them.
Because they're not really built to be able to play a shootout.
That's right.
With how
banged up they are, they're not. They're absolutely not.
Scoring first, protecting the edges.
Let's go for it.
I like it, Brian. Thank you, sir. Krusty's Corner every afternoon, 3:40 here in the nation. He will preview the Lions defense for you tomorrow. We got a football fix coming up, old Chuck.
Let's do it. Cowboys jealousy and the bowl sack of the year. That's next in the nation.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.